Welcome to Bible Curious. This is your host, Amberly Lyons. I'm excited to be recording this. I took a week off. You guys, being consistent has been difficult for me, but we're getting there. We're getting there. I know I moved and I was like, okay, now I moved. I'm going to be consistent. And then I had guests. It's been a whole thing. Anyways, I'm not going to keep promising to be consistent. I'm going to just say episodes will come when they come and hopefully they'll be consistent. We'll just leave it at that. Today, we're going to talk about the peace of the Holy Spirit. I sometimes forget that the Holy Spirit is a separate being. And I forget to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And my prayer life is very Father-focused, Jesus-focused. But there really is very much a different personality, this different softness to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to remind everyone that we need to be building a relationship with Him as well. Genesis 1:2, it says, "The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Spirit of God has been there since the beginning with God. And again, we need to see them as separate, but also joined. It's confusing. I get it. But the Holy Spirit is a spirit that has God's consciousness. And I believe our goal is to have as pure a consciousness as we can. It's like we're moving our ways and our tendencies and our thoughts over so that the Holy Spirit can move through us, which is God's consciousness moving through us. And what's interesting is that the deception that we see in New Age spirituality is that we are God. And I will admit that I am guilty to have professed those teachings. I actually had a program, coaching program called Goddess Magnetism, teaching people how to be a goddess. And I repent. I'm sorry. And the truth is, God did not die on a cross so we would have to be our own God and like live life suffering and forcing things and controlling things. He died on the cross so that we could have salvation, so that He could leave His Spirit here on earth, so that He could break the veil, so that we could access Him anywhere, anyplace, anytime. Because in the past, we had to go to certain places to access communication or connection or blessings from God. But the issue is we still have free will, and I talk about this a lot. This is where things get dark. This is where things are still dark. Have you ever stopped to think like what the world would look like if we just let the Spirit take the lead in our lives and we did not submit to our free will? Because our free will is so easily influenced. Hello, Adam and Eve. They ate the friggin' apple. We are so easily influenced by things that happen in our past. And you know, in the New Age spirituality, we talked a lot about how these things get recorded in our body as like tapes. Things happen in our lives and we keep repeating the same thought, the same reaction. And if we're constantly being reactionary and taking the lead or letting dark spirits take the lead, then we're not letting the Holy Spirit take the lead. And those tapes that are being replayed are demonic. Like we have these dark demonic settings in us that most of us, most of the time, are letting those settings play out because we're not letting the Holy Spirit run with it. We're not surrendering to the Holy Spirit. We're not giving it up. We're not laying it down. And I'm so guilty of that. I'm so guilty of that too. But yeah, I mean, again, if we just let the Holy Spirit take the leads in our lives, it would really be creating our own kingdom. It would be that heaven on earth. But again, it's hard. That's, you know, a lot of people would have to really lay it down for the actual kingdom to settle on the whole world. But God's working on it. God is working on it, and it is coming. Speaking of that, I haven't really talked about anything election vibes. I think anyone that's been following me for a long time knows where I stand with things. But at the end of the day, one thing that God kept telling me, and he wasn't saying don't vote. I'm Canadian. It doesn't matter. I can't vote anyways. But what he was showing me is that when you vote, you are giving your consent to the system. Forget about who you vote for. You're giving your consent to a broken, dirty system. So for those of you that did vote, of course, good for you. Glad you voted. But make sure you do some, I guess, demon expelling, because you need to take your consent back. Once you've voted in, like, demons, dark energies can't do anything unless you've given them consent. So by voting, you've essentially given consent to the system and the darkness of the system that you're allowing them to do whatever in your life. I truly believe that if you rebuke that and you say, yes, I voted and I take my consent back, I trust God's plan. I trust that he is going to work through these leaders. I trust that he is going to use this as part of his plan to bring the kingdom back to earth. But I rebuke any consent that I'd given away to this broken system. You know, it's really, it's like if people back in the days of the Bible during the Roman Empire, where Rome was literally enslaving the Jews, it's almost like they were voting for imagine like voting for a new leader of the Romans as a Jew. You're basically like, okay, I'm a slave, but I'm going to vote for a new person to enslave me. Like, and I'm not saying this to like make anyone feel silly for voting. If I was in the US, I would have voted too. But isn't it wild that these systems are so ingrained into us? We're so ingrained into the world that's where what we as people do is that we go and vote and we give our consent away for these people to just do whatever they want. So I just find that wild. At the end of the day too, and funnily enough, I've been reading Daniel and I've been reading Revelations, and it says so much about God appointing kings. God appoints the kings, but all kingdoms on earth crumble. Only the kingdom of God lasts. So he is going to work through these people. And what's interesting in Daniel is God uses Daniel, who starts off as basically a captive and basically has to get trained to work for the king. And then the king ends up taking a liking to Daniel because Daniel was given the gift from God to learn how to interpret dreams. So Daniel starts interpreting the king's dreams, and then everyone gets jealous of Daniel. They are like, the king likes him so much. He's faultless. He's such a good guy. He's so loyal to God, who at that time was not their God. They were like the God of Daniel. Like, they're referring it to like Daniel's God. And he kept being loyal to his God. So the people that were jealous of him passed this law that said, if anyone worships or praises anyone other than the king, they will be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel was like, okay, that ain't gonna stop me. And he kept praying to his God. He did it with his window open. He did it so people could see. He prayed 3 times a day. And the king didn't want to do it, but he's like, all right, that's the law. I guess Daniel's got to go in the lion's den. He didn't want Daniel to get hurt because he really liked Daniel, and Daniel really helped him out a lot. So Daniel goes in without a fight, and of course he prays. And of course, an angel comes down sent from God that keeps the lion's mouth closed. Whatever they did, I don't know if they gave the lions lockjaw or what. There were multiple lions, but whatever they did, those lions did not touch him. Everyone else that had been thrown in the lion's den, done for. Daniel saved. So then the king is like, oh my goodness, who is this God? And Daniel was like, yeah, yo, God did it. He was proud. He let the king know, yeah, it was God. And so by Daniel being A, so brave, B, praising God for it, C, telling the king, like, yeah, this is how great God is, then the king started to worship God. and told all his people that they must worship God. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people are upset about the election. God's going to work through. Try not to give my opinion. But again, if you've been following me, you'll know. You'll know. And the reason I'm not giving my opinion is because it doesn't really matter. The vote's already happened. I'm not like swaying anyone to believe anything. But also, I truly don't think it matters because it's God's plan. Like, it's like, yeah, the votes win, whatever. I actually don't like, if it wasn't part of God's plan, he wouldn't let the vote happen. There's so many things he could have done. God's in crunch time of his plan right now. I don't think he's going to be letting our free will take the reins right now. He's going to be interfering for sure. And he's going to do it. He's going to work in mysterious, miraculous, amazing ways. And I'm excited to see it happen. And maybe this isn't the last crazy time. Maybe it's going to get a lot worse, a lot darker before it gets better. Read Revelations, you know, it probably will. Read Daniel, it probably will. But if we can be like Daniel, we can be like, we feel like we have been thrown to the lions, and we can have the faith and the strength that we are covered and protected, and that in the end, when the judgment day comes, we are believers, we're good, we're safe. So that's what we really need to focus on, is how can we make sure that our relationship with God comes first, and that by building that, we're securing our safety, we're securing our sovereignty, we're securing our place in the kingdom. And that's what I want. That is what I really, really want.
Okay. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Back to the Holy Spirit. We talked about, you know, that whole tangent went off. I wasn't even planning on talking about that, but I guess the Holy Spirit really wanted me to. But have we ever, we talked about, you know, have we stopped to think about what it would look like if we really let the Holy Spirit take the lead? And that would really be us turning from sin. And here's the thing. I'm lucky. I don't have any like dark obsessions or addictions or anything like that. You know, I have in the past for sure. I would say that God has cleared a lot of things up for me. OCD, excessive partying, all kinds of stuff, you guys. We won't get into it. But there's still sins, you guys, and I'll be honest with what they are. I definitely struggle with body image, which is a vanity thing. I get a little obsessive about clothes and my weight. And, you know, when I'm scrolling through the Revolve website, I am disconnected from God because all I'm thinking about is how I look and my appearance. And that is just vanity and pride. And another thing God showed me today is that I have this habit of daydreaming about things I want. And this has been so ingrained in me from New Age spirituality. And again, it's always, almost always rooted in pride. And yes, a little dopamine hit here and there, a little daydream, a little writing out a list of things you want, putting things in a shopping cart, that's fine, whatever. But when you get hyper fixated on these things, on the material, and you are distracted from God for long periods of time, that's really from the enemy. And you know, it's not what really matters in life. Like how people see you and how you actually are at your core and your heart. You know, God sees your heart. He doesn't see what's on the outside. If you're worried about what you look on the outside more than you're worried about your own heart,
That's scary. And I'm like that. Like, when am I ever sitting there daydreaming about I'm going to be such a good person? Oh, it's going to be so great. I'm just going to go and be generous and do this and that and help all these people. No, I'm like, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to buy that and I'm going to go on this vacation. Like, come on. Like, we're not really daydreaming about purifying our hearts. And yes, I pray about it. I talk about it with God. I journal about it. I want it. I definitely, definitely want it to have a pure heart, to be nicer. But we don't spend as much time thinking about the inside as we do the outside. And, you know, one thing I often think is like, we really want people to be jealous of us. Isn't that weird? We're like, oh, I don't dress for guys. I dress for girls. Like, I want to look cool. Whatever. It's like we deep down want people to be jealous of us. Isn't that sad? Maybe it's just me. But so do you want people to be jealous of you, or do you want people to think that you're just the brightest, kindest soul and that you inspire them? And, you know, or do you just want to like inspire them to get Botox and hate their bodies and wish they looked more like you? Like, that's crazy. Like, what actually matters here? Anyways, that's one of my sins. And then another one is just fear, like fear of everything. Overall, safety. Overall, everything. I'm just, you know, I just feel like it leads me to be really, really snappy. I guess like fear and worry are probably the right words to use. And there's this girl I follow on Instagram. I want to try and find her for you guys. Shoot, I should have looked her up after. But she does these little reels. And she – it's more about relationships. So she kind of like talks about how you should react to your husband and like what he does. So it's like, okay, your husband leaves his socks on the floor. What not to do. And she'll be like, oh my gosh, I told you to pick up these socks, blah, 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 blah. And it'll be what you should do. And then she just like smiles and like it says like keep your mouth shut basically and trust. So it's like when we see these little things happening in our lives that we want to react to, rather than complaining, rather than reacting, can we just trust that it's going to be okay? And it's always like the smallest thing that can set off this big idea of, oh, you left your socks on the ground. That means you don't care about me. That means, you know, it's like obviously like a bigger picture, but it's in those little moments that we need to trust. And yes, that means trust your partner or trust whoever it is that is frustrating you, but also trust God. When there's a little inconvenience or a little like stifling of your plan, instead of complaining and reacting, can we be like, oh, this is an opportunity to trust. This is an opportunity to strengthen my patience. I know, easier said than done, you guys. But if we can really understand, okay, what is this overall fear? What am I making this mean? And, you know, it's just we really need to get to like the root cause of our reactions. But at the end of the day, they come down to fear. They come down to not trusting in God's plan. So yeah, you can have all these reactions, do all these things and try and psychoanalyze ourselves all we want as well. Obviously, we need to understand where the fear comes from. But at the end of the day, it's God who makes us feel safe. So if you have a spirit of fear, you will act in an ungodly way. You will blame. You will come to anger. You will come to judgment. You will come to complaining. You will start judging yourself. And it's not worth it. It's just like, give it up to God. Give it up to God. So 2 Timothy, oh my goodness. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A sound mind, you guys. Oh my gosh, I wish my mind was a little more sound sometimes. And that is what we're striving for. So I can look at these kind of like day-to-day issues, So I talked about fear. I talked about pride. I talked about maybe this little kind of like addiction to body image. And those are all spirits slash demons. So there is a spirit of addiction, a spirit of the feeling of lack, a spirit of pride, a spirit of fear, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of envy. But who is with us all the time that is way stronger than those things? The Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a dark world. But when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we always have the Holy Spirit in us, but when we let the Holy Spirit take lead of our free will and our reactions, then we feel peace. We feel the peace of the Holy Spirit. We know that it is part of God's plan. We surrender our free will to God's will, because our free will is really what gets us into trouble. We force things or decide things or try to like do or create anything that's not from God. We're creating with our own spirit and those demons that are attached to us. And, you know, my fear is going to make me make decisions that are not God's will. What if David listened to his free will, listened to his fear, and didn't go and fight the giant? My pride is going to make me care about things that don't actually matter and make me fixate and focus on these things and take time away from God. What if, you know, Solomon started being all showy and, you know, full of pride, and he spent all his time boasting rather than sharing all of his wisdom? You know, if we really listened to the tapes and the stories that these spirits are playing in our minds, then those are going to form our actions and our reactions. So how do we surrender? Obviously, like, I do my prayers. I tell God that I surrender. I'm like, God, I leave this at your feet. Take it from me. I try to walk with the Spirit. I try to be with the Spirit. And I've started to really pinpoint when I lose the Spirit every day. And often it's like when I go for my walk with my dog or I get in it. I love my dog. It's nothing to do with that. It's that I will get scared. I'll be like, oh my gosh, he's going to run into the street. Like, I will have these crazy thoughts of like fearful thoughts, or, you know, I'll get an annoying text message or an email and I'll start to react. And once we have that reaction, it's like we are showing the Holy Spirit like, no, we don't need you. We're scared. So we're going to handle this. Like, I'm going to handle this rather than surrendering it. So I think first we need to identify the spirits, the sins that are holding us back, and then identify when they come up for you. Like, what time of day is it? What scenarios? And then you know in that moment that you have to surrender. And what would it look like to surrender in that moment? What would it look like to just trust? What would it look like to not react? And what are some scripture or something like that that you can inscribe into your heart, so that when those moments come up, you're repeating the specific scripture? And it can be something as simple as, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. You know, it can be, I shall not want. It can be, even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I shall not fear. And that is, like, those words are alive. Like, those words are decrees. They are alive. So when we do that, when we use scripture, it's like a recoding, but it's not just a mental recoding. We hear so much in like the self-help world about our neurotransmitters and our frontal cortex lobe. I don't know, but you know, frontal cortex lobe. I don't think that's what it's called. Anyways, you know, what it is truly, I think it's a recoding of the soul. Like, the spirit within you is recoding your soul, recoding your personality. And I think it is less scientific than they say and more spiritual. And the reason I think that is because I've seen it happen in a freaking instant, in a split second. So the science could not explain that. You know, sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes it takes repetition. More often than not, it takes longer and it takes repetition. But I've also seen it happen instantly, which makes me think that it is a spiritual transformation, a purification. And we all have the Holy Spirit within us to transform us instantly, immediately. How blessed are we, you guys? So do that. Deep dive what scripture you need. You can, I know, ChatGPT, you guys. Actually, before you ChatGPT it, ask God to show you what scripture is going to help me with this repeating sin, this fear, this pride, whatever. What is going to help me in this moment? What is going to happen? What is going to help me when these moments happen repeatedly? And you can put it on a post-it note, write it on your forehead, whatever you need to do. But this is how you counter the devil. When Jesus gets baptized, he goes into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted by the devil. And he combats the temptations with scripture. The devil's very crafty. He tries to skew the words of scripture. He tries to tell Jesus to do all these things and tries to convince him to worship him. And that's what they do. They try to convince you with these half-truths. They try to get under your skin. But when you use the scripture, it will shut it down. Spiritually, this is spiritual warfare. This is what the spiritual warfare is, you guys. Submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And honestly, like I said, I haven't been the best at this all the time. When I'm super busy with my business stuff, it's very much a separation from God. And obviously, I want to invite God into my work, and I'm lucky that I can do that. I'm lucky I have this podcast. I'm lucky that I have my time with God to worship and that I do work from home, and I have so much freedom there, and I'm so grateful for that. But even with that, oh my gosh, I am not perfect, you guys. Of course I do, you know, I'll do my prayers in the morning, whatever. Sometimes I'm not that, you know, my mind's not there and I need to stay longer, and I don't. You know, sometimes I, you know, get, you know, I have like the best morning prayer and I feel God so closely, and I go for a morning walk and he's there, and then something happens and it's like the rest of my day goes down the crapshoot. And, you know, I don't really know where I was going with that, but I just want you to know that it's normal. But if we can.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
And look and analyze why and when that happens. We can be armed. This is the spiritual warfare. This is what we're fighting. And going back to everything we were talking about with the election and yada, 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 it's all spiritual warfare. It is all a spiritual war. And that's why red or blue isn't going to win the war. God is going to win the war, because there's evil on both sides, you guys. So yeah, be armed, be armed. And this is what, again, also what walking in the Spirit is bringing the Holy Spirit into every decision. And, you know, again, what helps me just starting my morning in prayer, being in gratitude, being in communication with God, staying at my altar until I feel him, recognizing God's presence, and recognizing God's presence in things that aren't you sitting in prayer and at your altar. So whether you're going for a walk or petting your dog or drinking coffee with your partner or whatever, and, you know, I'll be listening to worship while I'm working out and just like feeling God around you, and as often as you can. Because when that's happening, like when we are submerged and saturated in the Holy Spirit, that's when the transformational work is happening. And that's when you feel that peace and you're making decisions that are based on what God wants, not what your reactions want. So again, I'm really lucky to be able to have this platform where when I do this, you guys, when I'm talking to you guys about God, even when I'm preparing for an episode and like writing out what I want to talk about and researching and all those things, God is with me at my desk. But then there's things that I do in part of my business where he's not there, and I have to find ways to bring him in. And so that's what I challenge us all to do, encourage us all to do, is to think of when is God not there and how can I bring him into it. And then again, there's people who have jobs that have nothing to do with God,
But there's ways to bring God into that too. You know, I want you guys to, whether it's that you're taking prayer breaks at work, or you're talking about God, or you're listening to a podcast while you're at work, if you can do that, you know, whatever it is, like, bring him in. And I mean, here's the thing. I've spoken to you guys a little bit about what's going on with my jewelry business, Prism, and how it still has a very new age tinge to it, and how we are being attacked. I feel like we are in the lion's den right now. I mean, if you don't watch Real Housewives, I mean, good for you. Unfortunately, that is a sin I have not detached from yet or purified from, working on it. But I am, and I'm not saying it's like a sin technically to like watch Real Housewives. I'm just being facetious with that. But there's a lot of darkness, and I don't want to say being punished, but I definitely am seeing the darkness seep through in my involvement of the Real Housewives. So yeah, basically there's rumors about my business that are going on in the show. It's like, usually this would really thrash me, you guys. Usually this would take me down, but because of my faith in God, I'm good. So one thing that I decided to do is, when we had all this stuff going on, I decided, okay, yes, like, the business is in kind of like new agey vibe. I decided to create a collection that is biblical, and it's called Sovereign, and it is a collection that is about spiritual warfare, because we're facing it right now. There's a cross, there is a sword that's called the Sword of the Spirit. And there's, okay, so there's a necklace that we called the Third Eye Necklace. I know, you guys, I get it. But when I designed it, what was actually in my mind was omnipresence. So that's what I'm thinking of when I wear that necklace. And then what else? There's some really cute chunky chains. So yeah, I'm bringing God into that business. And things are going to change. It's transforming. The Holy Spirit's working. God's working on it. We're good. Anyways, that was just one thing that I did to like – to bring of God into this, you know, new agey kind of business that I'm working on. I'm working on it. Okay. I know, hypocritical. I get it. But we're working on transforming it. So that's my way. I'm just lucky to be able to bring God into my work. That's my point. That's what I'm getting at. But no matter what, no matter where you're at, what your work is, what you do for a living, there's a way to bring God into it, to bring the Holy Spirit into it. And it's not easy at first. It's not, you know, it doesn't always come naturally, but I believe that there's always a way. And like, ask God, be like, what would you like me to do? How would you like me to bring you into this scenario? Another thing about the Holy Spirit too is that the Holy Spirit is always alive in us. I think I sometimes say, oh, activate the Holy Spirit within you, but the Holy Spirit is always alive and active within you. It's just that you're clogging it up. You got to let him shine through. You got to move out of the way. And that's those demonic reactions that we have, and those patterns that are rooted in sin and fear. And if we just knew that the Holy Spirit was in and working through us all the time, and we let things flow out of us, we would be a lot better. So ask yourself, like, what are the spirits that you're carrying around, the demons that you're carrying around, and how can I arm myself with protection so that I can let the Holy Spirit shine through? I want to talk more about peace, you guys, but I feel like it needs to be its own episode, because I want this to be about the Holy Spirit and peace. But there's going to be a part two, because originally the episode was only going to be on peace, but then the Holy Spirit was really reminding me, like, hey, you don't pay enough attention to me. And I was like, oh my goodness, you're right. And that's why I'm not feeling peace. So step one was like, we need to really get the Holy Spirit activated. And so I think I want to leave you guys with this, because there are a lot of takeaways where you're going to do exactly that. You're going to look at the reactions that you're having, the things that are taking you out of that awe of God. Like, when you wake up and you do your prayer and you're like in that state of presence with God, what is knocking you out? And what is the scripture to arm yourself so that in those moments you bring yourself back to the Holy Spirit. And then what are the things in your life that are maybe a little bit mundane or distracting or whatever that you can bring the Holy Spirit into? What are the things in your work that you can bring the Holy Spirit into? What are things in your work or your day-to-day life that you can bring God's will for you into? Where can you ask God what his will for you is and what he wants you to be doing and how he wants you to be worshiping and how he wants you to be sharing with others about him? And that doesn't have to be on social media. That doesn't have to be a podcast. It can literally be in your lunchroom. And they talk about this all the time at church. And like, I get it. Like, it's like a creepy. It's like, I don't want to seem weird, but there's ways. There are ways to do it that are aligned and authentic, and the Holy Spirit will show you how to do it. Don't do it by your own strength. Don't do it, you know, oh, I think I should do it. Like, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you can do. Or ask the Holy Spirit, is there someone that you need me to just shine my light on? Is there anybody in my day-to-day life who maybe just needs me to be really kind to them? And to, because that's the thing too, like the Holy Spirit being present in your life sometimes is enough. Letting him shine through you and being in a room full of people and being the light for them, sometimes that's enough. So there are a lot of takeaways for you guys from today's episode. And as always, DM me if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have anything to input, anything that you think I might have missed, any insights or revelations that you've been having. I want to know. I want to chat with you guys. And I know I have not been active on social media. It's coming. I'm preparing an entire rebrand, photo shoot, all these things, you guys. It's coming. And I know I need to make it a bigger priority. This is, you guys are on this journey with me, you guys. And as Prism has this darkness looming over it, and I've been navigating that, it has pulled me away from doing things for God. And I repent of that, but it just shows you like how much darkness tries to take us down and distract us. And I see that, and I'm arming myself, and I am excited because there is just a lot more worshiping God and putting him out there and shining my light that's coming. And I hope you guys get excited too. I hope that you guys find ways that you can do that. I hope that you guys look at things in your life that are holding you back and start to get conviction about them. Start to ask the Holy Spirit to transform them. Like, I've asked the Holy Spirit to come into my business and transform it so many times. And I've just had to trust that it's all happening the way that it's meant to. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about with my business, I talked about it, I think, in my the last episode. I don't really want to like dive into it, but this is just a really wild time for me, and I think I get to use it as an opportunity to have testimony of how the Holy Spirit is taking something negative and something that has not been feeling aligned for me, and is not aligned with truth, and transforming it, which is happening. And, you know, the first step was launching this Sovereign Collection. So if you feel like checking it out, prismlifestyle.co, you guys. You guys, the cross necklace, I'm telling you, I don't take it off. Like, and it's waterproof, so I literally never take it off. I'm sweating in it. I'm sleeping in it. I'm bathing in it, showering in it, all the things. Anyways, little plug, but I'm sharing it because it's from God. It's from the Holy Spirit. All right, you guys. Love you. Reach out to me on Instagram. And if you could rate all the stars and leave a loving comment, that would be so appreciated. Forward this to a friend. And I love you guys. And I will catch you next week. And we'll be talking about peace. Peace out.